Welcome to Commons and Chronicles, the podcast where we talk about all the best Creative Commons and reusable open game license content. If you need resources for your creative writing, game design, or you just love lore, Commons and Chronicles is for you. Hey everyone, Klaatu here. We're going to continue with the Gods of Porphyra. If you don't have a copy of the Gods of Porphyra, and you like what you have been hearing in the Gods of Porphyra, why not go pick up a copy? You can do that at drivethroughrpg.com/product/102872. It's drivethroughrpg.com. You can get it as a PDF or a book. And it is well worth it. It's by a company called Purple Duck Games, which I have no affiliation with. I'm just talking about their Creative Commons content here, or their open game content, actually. And I think it's worth supporting because it's a lot of really great content. And it's just so darn smart to make a pantheon of gods that everyone can use. I think that's just a brilliant move on their part. So anyway, we're going to talk about the chaotic evil god Rajuk Amangor. This is a great one. This is a really cool one. I really enjoyed this. So the Rajuk is called the Dark Maw, or the Black Hood, or the Last Dancer. He is the god of death, undeath, and assassins. His worshippers are assassins, doomsayers, and necromancers. His alignment is chaotic evil. His domains are art, chaos, death, and evil. His subdomains are demon, devil, movement, and undead. His favored weapon is the short sword, and his favored animal is the Death's Head Hawk Moth. Rajuk lived a long, long time ago. He started out as a... It doesn't actually say that he was a human child, so I shouldn't say as a human child. He started out as a child, a mortal child, and he lived... He doesn't remember a whole lot about it, but he remembers that he lived in the time of just after the Calling and during the New God Wars. So this was an age of just endless wonder and endless possibility in terms of what could happen to your campaign setting and how the world could form. And as much good as could happen, also, obviously, just as much evil could happen. So this child, this is all told in the pages of a book called The Black Dance. It's considered a blasphemous book. It's an unholy book, except to the followers of Rajuk Amangor. But it tells of this child named Rajuk, and he, as a child, he remembers only hunger, cold, darkness, dampness, decay, detritus, never being good enough, never being fast enough, never being strong enough. Essentially a refugee in the wars of both secular and divine worlds. He was in that weird spot of being both simultaneously ignored and reviled at the same time. You can't be reviled if you're being ignored, and yet that's how it is. And some of you might know what I'm talking about. This might sound familiar to some people, and it's a very real problem in our world, unfortunately. And that's who Rajuk was. That was the slot that he fit into. One night, as Rajuk, the small child, cowered in an alleyway, he could see divine light crackling in the sky, and he could hear the shouts of war and defiant arcane magic. Knowing nothing but fear, he hid. And as he hid here in this alleyway, gods passed by. The dark hid him from them. But behind him, there was a fissure in time and a hole in space. And this hole filled up with a beautiful seed, which, as it turns out, was just the embryonic form of a godling, possibly summoned by the Calling itself. The seed opened, revealing a lithe, beautiful humanoid, a being born to dance, and in dancing, perhaps heal the universe. Well, little Rajuk happened to have a splinter of steel in his hand, and he skewered the god seed before it could fully unfold, stole the divine essence from this newborn god, and became Rajuk Amangor, no longer afraid, no longer beaten, but the one to be feared. Rajuk Amangor's church has several orders, all of which claim Roderick as their patron, all choose one or two distinct ideologies. First, there are those that embrace Roderick in all aspects, knowing full well the nature of their dark god. Whether they're mad or coerced by promises of divine favor, they accept everything. And then there are also the death cults that see Roderick as the amoral end of all things, a winding down of the universe, the end of the great dance. Both are traditionally avoided by good, rational people, although the latter ideology, the one about the winding down of everything, is tolerated by the Rajuki dancers, which is an assassin's guild. They identify themselves when necessary by wearing a black hood. The Holy Assassin's Guild are led by a black bishop who rules the dancers from a black throne and whose identity is never revealed to any of the members. The traditional clergy of Roderick Amangor are ruled over by a different black bishop who is in turn served by the Council of Grim Cardinals. The cardinals are served by the Mordant Vicars who oversee the Doom Priests that make up the General Assembly of Dark Clerics. Sentient undead serve in the clergy, but never in a rank any higher than a Mordant Vicar. The undead created by Rajuki are known as Black Dancers. Spell preparation rituals are almost like a dance, although from the description I would assume that it's more akin to, for instance, Tai Chi or some martial movement like that, than what you or I would probably think of if we heard someone's going to go dancing. They also chant along with the ritual. It's not something that they typically perform for people. It's something that if you're witnessing it as an outsider, it's probably the last thing you're seeing. But when they're preparing their spells every morning or every night or whatever, that's what they're doing. And these movements do double as a physical exercise to train the body to kill. And Rajuki are usually in superb physical condition. Even though they love death, they're very much alive. They're very healthy. Mindless undead typically hold the trappings of ceremony in temples and cult hideouts. Of course, there are two religious traits you get if you're following Rajuk Amangor. There's the unmerciful blade. Killing is second nature to you and is at the core of his dark ministry. You deal additional damage on a critical hit with short swords equal to the critical hit modifier. This damage is added and not multiplied. Corpse Friend. The walking dead hold no terrors for you, being merely dancing partners in the last dance. You gain a +2 trait bonus to diplomacy checks versus sentient undead such as vampires and wraiths. Roderick Amangor, depending on your leaning, he is so metal or he is so goth. It's perfect. He is the perfect chaotic evil god for someone who loves the aesthetic of everything that's good turned upside down. It's great. I mean, unfortunately, he is chaotic evil, which means that it's not just the trappings of everything dark. It's actually everything dark, you know. It's raising people up from the dead against their will to have them do stuff for you. Greedy, evil, selfish stuff like that that even the most lovable playable character just couldn't really get away with doing with any kind of good conscience. So I don't really see Roderick Amangor entering the player pantheon. The personal pantheon of a player. That said, I could see it being the pantheon of a really, really awesome non-player character who is maybe, you know, helpful at least to some certain extent or to some end for the player characters. I could definitely see that being really, really great. Or if you just wanted to play it as it is written, chaotic evil, then that's easy to do as well. I mean, you've got a bunch of necromancy happening and no one actually wanting it to occur, so it's good material to work with. The story of little Roderick, how he was sort of an outcast, I guess, is really what he was. It just makes him so darn sympathetic, at least in my view. So it's really hard to acknowledge that he is truly chaotic evil. But I mean, that's his story, so and that's his domains. So it's something that I guess one has to reconcile. He is evil, and I cannot allow myself to like him all that much just because he happens to exude metal or goth or whatever. So yes, he's an evil god. I really like him, though. I think his story is cool. I think it makes him sympathetic. I think he and his ilk could be a really great set of bad guys. And in spite of, like, exactly the opposite of what I was saying in our previous Chaotic Evil God episode, where I was saying, oh, Maul is really easy to make. He's just bad for the sake of being bad. It's so easy. You can just throw him in with whatever evil warlike group that you need to come attack people, and it's super easy. In spite of what I said there, this is the perfect kind of, like, sympathetic bad guy that would actually, once you got to that final boss battle, it'd be kind of difficult to go through with it, possibly. You'd almost need a little bit of an extra push, because you just keep thinking, well, maybe he could be reformed. Maybe he's not all that bad. Maybe we could, I mean, not Rajak himself, probably. I mean, unless you are fighting a god. But, I mean, just, like, maybe his high priest, you know? Maybe just there's so much outcast, and they've been wronged so thoroughly that maybe they're not really evil. And so it could really be, you know, they could play on that sympathy, too. They could be aware that you are sympathetic and try to manipulate you through that sympathy. So that's Rajak Amon-Ghor. A great name, a great backstory, great aesthetic. I really don't see what there's not to like, other than the fact that he will raise your corpse from the dead and make you do his bidding. Until next time. That's it for this week's episode. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Klaatu. You can reach me via email at klaatu@member.fsf.org. You can also usually catch me in IRC as not Klaatu. I'm on the Freenode network. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.